adopt the agenda?
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Approval of minutes from November 10th?
Motion to approve.
I'll do a second on that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Public appearances, seeing that there are none, we'll move on to 2022 street resurfacing project.
So we've started to put together next year's street resurfacing project. Our hope would be to finalize the details of this project and get it bid out end of January. In the process, as we do every year, we take a look at the five-year capital improvement plan. And in that process, we look at the PASER ratings. And we do that on a yearly basis. Every other year, we need to submit these ratings to the DOT. But in front of you, I handed out a bar graph showing the PASER ratings. And PASER stands for Pavement Surface Evaluation and Rating. And we go out and assign a number to those, to the street, the condition of the street surface. And if you flip to the next page, 10 would be excellent, and a street rated 9 would be excellent as well. 8 would be very good. 7 would be 7 and 6 would be good. 5 and 4 would be fair. 3 would be poor. 2 very poor. 1 failed. Just that for reference purposes, a street rated 8 to 10, that would be St. Joseph Street from Riverside Drive to Webster Avenue, or Oakwood Avenue from Green to Alloway Avenue. We had reconstructed that street in 2019. Longview Drive would be another example of that, from Delahunt to Libel Street. A street rated 6 to 7, that would be your East Mission from Webster to Libel, Green Avenue from Webster Street to Libel Street. A street rated 4 to 5, that would be a Broadview from Webster to East River Drive, Libel Street from 172 north of Village Limits. Street rated 1 to 3 would be East Briar Lane from Webster to Libel Street, Aguin from Delahunt to Libel, Green Avenue would be another good example of a street rated either 1 through 3 from Libel to East River Drive. Up above, there's a bar graph, and this breaks out the percentages of streets that are rated 8 to 10, 6 to 7, 4 to 5, and 1 to 3. Roughly speaking, 50% of our roadways are rated 1 to 3. I should take a step back. The village has about 55 miles of local roadway, so 15% of 55 miles would be, roughly speaking, 8 miles. Streets, we have 22% of our streets are rated 4 to 5, and that represents about 12 miles of our local roadways. We have close to 33% of our roadways are rated 6 to 7, and that consists of about 18 miles of village street. And then we have 30% of streets that are rated 8 to 10, which is about 16 miles. To give you a little idea of what that what the cost may be to maintain or improve a street in a condition as it's currently shown rated, a 1 to 3 would be a reconstruction project. The cost per foot to reconstruct the street is roughly anywhere between $550 to $600 a foot. And that a reconstruct would include new pavement, new base, new curb and gutter, driveway work, and improvements to the underground utilities. Improvements to a street that are rated from a 4 to a 5, that would be a what I call a street that we would have on our street resurfacing project, and more so a rehabilitation project where we're removing that pavement full depth. The cost to rehab a street, and again, these are just ballpark numbers, of roughly speaking, $100 a foot.
Is that linear or square?
Linear feet, yep. Streets rated 6 to 7, those are streets that we want to come in and mill and overlay. And the cost to do that is less than it would be to rehabilitate a street, and that would be about $50 a foot. Streets rated 8 to 10 of those streets that you want to go out really don't need a whole lot of maintenance, but what you want to do is when a crack develops, you want to fill it right away. So I have come up with costs for each category, if you want to call it that. With the numbers I just provided, roughly speaking, the cost to reconstruct 15% of our streets would be about $26 million. The cost to rehabilitate the streets rated 4 to 5 would be $6.5 million. The cost to maintain those that are rated 6 to 7, and then those would be the mill and overlay, that would be about a $5 million project.
And how often do we mill and overlay? Because hopefully the goal is to keep those streets in that condition.
Yes, right. Every year we have a street maintenance project, which I call a street resurfacing project.
Right, but if you do a street mill and overlay, how long should that last?
Typically speaking, 12 and a half to 15 years. Okay.
Before it needs another mill and overlay?
Yeah, exactly. Or a rehabilitation, a full depth removal. Your hope is to get over 50 years out of the life of that pavement. Once the street has been constructed or reconstructed, within 2 years, 3 years, you want to go and fill in the cracks. About year number 13, year number 15, you want to mill and overlay that street. Another 12 to 15 years after that, you want to mill and overlay again. And then 12 years after that is a rehabilitation. And that will typically last, be good for another 12 and a half to 15 years. So it's with that maintenance work, if everything goes right, if you provide that, your hope is to get more than 50 years out of your pavement. I have included a map, just for your reference to take a look at. There's a legend at the bottom. Those streets that are highlighted in red are those rated 1 to 3, those in yellow, 4 to 5, those in blue, 6 to 7, those shown as black are 8 to 10.
Sean, on
yep.
the first page with the bar graphs,
yep.
under the top graphic, yeah, based on 54.61 miles, and then you have paved 45, 50, 52, 55. What does that mean?
Those are referenced to the different types of maintenance that you can apply to a street. And I don't have that information up.
Okay.
So, for instance, a 60 or 65 represents a mill and overlay of a 70.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's not on the legend on the last sheet, but... So with that in mind, we took a look at our five-year capital improvement plan, more so just the upper half of it, the street maintenance projects. I will be bringing this back early to middle part of next year to talk about the upcoming street reconstruction project in 2023 in the lower half of this plan. But the focus tonight is to look at what we're proposing or what we're currently showing for the street resurfacing projects next year. Last year, we were fortunate to get good pricing. I'm sorry, not last. This year, we were fortunate enough to get good pricing. And because of that, we were able to do some additional work. We had in the contract, we had alternates. We had three alternates. Due to the good pricing, we were able to move projects from later years into 2021 and have created some holes in 2023 and 2025 that we'll need to consider. And we do have a list of projects off to the side that aren't in the plan, but that need maintenance. At some point, we'll take a closer look at those streets and we'll slide some streets into 2023 and 2025. If you look at 2022, we've made some changes to what we had presented last year in the capital improvement plan. Custer Court, that project, we've elected to move that out of the five-year plan for street maintenance for right now. And the main reason for that is, yes, the surface needs work. It needs maintenance. But when we look at these projects, not only do we look at the condition of the pavement, we want to be mindful of the utilities below. We don't want to come in and put down new pavement or utilities that may be at the end of their service life. And that's the case for Custer Court. Custer Court does have cast iron water main, and we know that can be a brittle pipe, and from time to time we do have water main breaks, and that typically speaking occurs where we have cast iron pipes. So Custer Court is being moved out of the five-year plan for street maintenance, and it will likely get moved down as a reconstruct project. No change to Gwynn or Jinkle, and that would be the limits of that project would extend from LeBron north to Gwynn, and then Gwynn from Jinkle to Lytle Street. McCormick Street, we had completed that work in 2021. No change to Dauphin Street. And the limits of that project extend from Webster to Lytle Street. Hastings is a street that we've added this year. Yet this year we're going to be out removing, replacing lead services on Hastings Street. And some of that work may extend into the roadway. We're hopeful that it doesn't. But because of that, we've added that project to be resurfaced next year. And the limits of that would be from Webster to Irwin Street. Patrick and Michael Court are off Hoffman. We have received a number of phone calls on the condition of those two courts. And we've gone out and looked at it. The surface layers has started to delaminate from the binder below. In some cases, there's a lot of cracking. We want to go in and in this particular case, we're going to do a full depth removal of the pavement and put down 4 inches of asphalt.
Given there's no through traffic, obviously, in either of those, and there's what, six, eight houses on each one? So I'm assuming the usage or whatever is fairly limited, but it must be that far gone.
Yeah. The surface is in a condition that it needs maintenance. And our hope is that over the next, let's say, 5 years, we can sprinkle in some of these courts that need work that we've avoided.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, off of Hoffman, you got 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm looking at the title sheet that I provided in the packet. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 ports, off of Hoffman. The cost is in parentheses. You're looking at something just less than just shy of $30,000 to come in and rehabilitate street pavement on those courts. The other project I wanted to talk about it would be the resurfacing of Rustic Oaks from the cul-de-sac north to Culp Street. We have added, and like we had done last year, a couple alternate street projects in the event that we could get good unit pricing. Those projects would be Kenny Street from Clay to Delahot, and Kenny again from Lionel to Jekyll. I guess my hope tonight is would be to get a recommendation to the village board to approve the 5-year CIP and to move ahead with the street maintenance projects as listed for the 22 street resurfacing project.
Sean, can I just ask, how long have we been documenting the condition of roads in this manner with this
phaser system? Off the top of my head, I think it was early 2000s, but I can get an answer to that.
So that's good news to me then. So how are we doing year to year? Are we staying on top of this? Are we slipping back to where we're having more streets percentage-wise that are in the 1 to 3, 4 to 5 versus
I think
years
we're
after? Or are we really still staying ahead of this?
I think we're doing a pretty good job of maintaining. I don't know that you're ever going to get ahead.
I think we're in better shape than we were.
Oh, we are definitely.
Yeah.
20
years
Even 5 years ago.
Well, that's what I want to hear. I mean, that's
trending, right? Yeah.
Yeah, as long as we're trending in the right direction, or at the very least maintaining, and we're able, then I think that would mean that we're able to maintain what we have to a degree. I mean, we still.
Yeah, when I saw 15% in the 1 to 3, I was very happy to hear that. Because when I first joined the board, I guarantee you it was more than 15%.
That's what I want to hear. Okay. So we are moving in the right direction.
We are, yeah.
Okay.
You know, a challenge or whatever is this plan is kind of based on about $500,000 a year. Now, if we had $1 million a year, well, we could make better progress, obviously.
We could.
I don't know how we get there.
We upped it from 350 to 500.
Right. Yeah, you know what? I'm happy with the 500. We can manage that. Anything that's bigger than that, we just don't have enough staff. And we could take on more work, but we would have to bring in some help from a consultant or somewhere else.
How long was that?
Probably 3 years ago.
2016, 17, somewhere around there.
3 or 4 years ago. And I think it was actually at 3. And then we went to 350. Then we went to 5.
Haven't our materials just increased that much in general anyway? I mean, it's been horrific over the last 3-4 years, has it not?
Well,
asphalt.
Go on.
Yeah, 19. I think we saw a 25% increase in cost.
It's been horrible.
And but it came back down.
It came back down, yep. And now I think we're going to see it go right back up because...
Do you?
Because of
oil costs,
the ARPA funds there will be out there, and the infrastructure bill that was approved.
So prices will go up.
Yeah.
Question on year 3, 2023, under the maintenance. Mm-hmm. You have Sunrise Lane. I'm just using that as an example. And Sunrise has a raise. Paver rating of 1 to 3. Why wouldn't that be a reconstruct?
It's a good question. I'd have to look at the condition of the underground utilities. It may be that the condition of the underground utilities are such that we can handle it under a street maintenance project.
Okay.
But I'll have to take a closer look at that.
And the same thing would probably be true for Longview. You have that over in the right-hand column, but that's also a 1-3. And I know that.
You have Longview from Libel to East River Drive.
Yeah.
Yes. When we laid this out last year, not only did we take a look at the pavement surface, but the underground, the condition of underground utilities. So,
in a broader look at that, it's kind of a newer section too.
Right.
So it probably doesn't have the cast iron, or hopefully not.
Yeah, I didn't think Longview was done in the, like I was told, in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And that might be a project that will get moved under 2023. And maybe it makes sense with the sidewalk project next year that we would come in and resurface that in 2023. If the utilities are such that it allows us to do that. And now there are some streets shown under the maintenance projects that the condition of the utilities aren't what we would want, but we just have a backlog of projects that need to be reconstructed, and they're awfully expensive. And how long do you wait, before you go in and improve the pavement? East Briar is a good example of that. That pavement is starting to... It's in bad shape. Gwynn is in bad shape. Green Avenue, Carl, Karen. And we're those projects are listed below under the street reconstruction portion of this, but they're expensive projects.
Looks like in 78, the road is definitely there. It's hard to tell in 1960.
Okay.
It doesn't appear to be.
If there's good news, if this is good news, approximately $26 million in reconstruct projects. And if we did five every other year, is that what we're doing, $5 million every other year?
Not quite.
Short of that, I think.
Three and a half to four.
Or three. Okay, so we're at six. 12 years, we won't have anything from 1-3 if we maintain our roads correctly, based on those.
Well, and keep in mind, too, that, you know, you're... The fours and the fives that you've rehabilitated are nearing the end of their useful life, and at some point then they get pushed into a 1-2 or 1-3.
So my question is, when are you going to get all of our roads to 8-10?
Once we give them $50 million.
Yeah.
Really. It's pretty simple and important. And Libel is about the only one who we've got the potential large grant, or much more the potential, the federal money for that, right?
Yeah, that the design of that project has started.
So would we do that on top of everything else in 23?
That project scheduled for 2024. In 2024, we don't have a street reconstruction project, but we do have a street maintenance project, and those streets are listed up above. And in 2024, 2025, 2026, we've been talking about improvements on Webster Avenue, so that those will get added to this CIP, and we'll do that when we start to talk about the reconstruct projects in 2023, which will be early to middle part of next year, because we need to make a decision on the streets we want to reconstruct in 2023 so that we can start that process, to hire a consultant to do the survey and to help with the development of plans.
So for next year, approximately, do you know how many miles of roadway we're going to be rehabilitating?
I do have that information, but I don't have it with me.
Okay, that's cool.
I can provide that.
Well, that's somewhere in between $150 a foot, right?
Yeah, and what we have, the streets that we have listed, we have two projects. We have the mill and overlays, and then we have the full depth removal projects. Dauphin, that's a mill and overlay. Hastings, a mill and overlay. Patrick, Michael, Rustic Oak, Jenko, and Gwynn. Those are full depth removals. And for those that don't know, the scope of a full depth removal is the contractor will come in. Before they come in, we go and take a look at the curb and gutter. We mark curb and gutter that is defective, that needs to be removed and replaced. And typically, we estimate about 20% of the existing curb and gutter needs to be removed and replaced. That work gets done. The curb and gutter gets removed. Contractor comes in and pulls off the pavement. They finish the curb and gutter work. Typically, it's Northeast Asphalt will come in then and fine grade the existing base. They'll come in and shape it and compact that existing base, and then they'll put down 4 inches of asphalt for full depth removal.
The Webster Avenue Group planning to do sections where the homeowners have some landscaping that's failing, some rocks, rock walls. Did you see the one guy's replacing his whole wall? Because he replaced his whole driveway between St. Matt's and Whitney on the east side. It was a huge, long driveway, and then a retaining wall next to it. And then he's replacing the retaining wall on Webster, which I was thinking, I wonder if that'll survive or how that'll be affected if we do that.
I have talked to the county some more. We talked about that quite a bit this fall, those projects on Webster Avenue, and we had elected to postpone that project to a later date.
Right.
But I talked to the county about the condition of those rock walls, and that they need work now. And they have kept an open mind to that, and they indicated that they're going to try to get to that next year. At least those walls that they're going to remove and just grade back.
Yeah.
Have they already notified the homeowners?
No. We've just had a discussion with the county. I don't even know if they have begun to look at it. Yeah.
Could it at least help people plan for next year and the year after if they're looking at large landscaping projects like that? Because I noticed that one too.
Yeah, if you drive by, you'll see it's like...
It's huge. I mean, the amount of stone they had delivered there. So, at least for planning. I'm not even to say we're doing this next year, but just...
Well, yeah, the only thing that the county may do would be work on those walls. And
it's part of what, three blocks there? From the Lutheran Church south to St. Matt's almost? About it?
Yeah, from St. Matthew's north to the dry cleaner, right?
Yeah.
On the right hand side?
Yeah.
There are a couple walls south of 172 and one just north of Austin's that needs work.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're looking for a motion basically to recommend to the board the street maintenance plan for next year primarily.
Yeah, right.
Everything else will change most likely.
Yes.
Things do change, right? But is that what you're looking for? I don't want to put words in.
I guess, first of all, a recommendation to the village board to approve the five-year CIP as presented tonight.
Okay.
And then approval to move ahead with the street maintenance projects as listed under year 2022 for next year's street resurfacing project.
Are there any questions in your mind about if any other streets will be added or subtracted from next year's plan? Or is that pretty fixed in your mind?
Oh, no. As you guys know, this is a working fluid document. Every other year we try to take a really good close look at it and amend it. But
for next year, you're going to start
we're going to change it again,
right?
And the only reason why I'm asking for a recommendation to the board to approve this plan is that in our village code, it does indicate that I, as the director of public works, I before we proceed with the project, that the capital improvement plan should be approved by the village board.
Could we put the word fluid in there?
Yeah, you,
yes, you can.
Yes.
Because that's gotten some trouble in the past. Of, well, things change, you know.
Yeah.
So I'd be more than happy to make a motion to accept this five-year plan. Or I should say, recommend to the village board to approve this.
Understanding that some of the streets will change.
Things can happen and stuff might get moved around a little bit. Or maybe a little bit of money left over. You do one, like we did Hilltop, for example.
Right.
You could thrill those people. So that was good.
So we don't want to call this a preliminary plan.
It is.
Can we just call it a preliminary plan?
It is. It's a working fluid plan. And okay. There's a note right underneath the title of it that says, capital improvement plan is a working and planning document, and as such is subject to change at any time.
Perfect.
But you spelled change right.
Did I?
Chenage.
I just did a quick brown dog search measurement of 1.4-ish, 1.5 miles will be completed based on these.
That's what this is?
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty fluid, though, right?
Is that a straight line?
Straight line.
And that came up with 1.26.
Do we have a second?
Second. Nope. Ted will second.
All right. Any further discussion?
Can I just read that back? So the move to recommend the five-year plan with the understanding roads may change.
Yep. That works for me.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none.
Nice work, by the way.
Yeah.
I love the presentation with this. It really...
It'd be nice to see this each year, the same one, with Mr. Arco, so we can see what direction we're going.
I can do that.
And will these be the updates that are posted on the website?
Update of what? Are you talking about the CIP?
Both of them.
They're out there now.
Right.
They're under attachments, so.
Oh, after the village board meeting, I'd be more than happy to post this. And it will, you know, we put that statement underneath, but.
You want to highlight that statement?
Bold it.
Yeah, I would.
Yes.
Whatever you need to do.
It's spell check.
Highlight it. Asterisk it. Whatever you need to do.
I believe Chenage in there. Make people ask, what is
catch
that?
People.
Okay, yeah, very nice. Thank you for doing that.
Sewer rate case.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julia spent a lot of time putting together these numbers, and I think I'm going to let her run through it.
Oh, you are?
Or if you'd like me to go through it at a high level, I'd
go ahead.
Okay.
I think you've got it.
All right. I'm going to do my best. Julia put together a rate case for our sanitary sewer. There are two options. When she started, she had put all these numbers together, and I took some time to review it and make sure that, you know, the numbers that she had provided are the numbers that I expect. And let's go through option A2. At the top, she had listed the projected O&M and capital improvement expenses. If you total all that up, the total expenses are just a little over $3 million, $3.1 million. And as she worked through this rate case, that number was broken into two categories, O&M and interest and principal payments are fixed charges. Is that right? Mm-hmm. From that, we were able to come up with a rate for O&M and a rate for fixed charges. And in order to do that, you have to know the estimated gallons of metered water or metered wastewater. And when we started this, that number was 340 million gallons. And that's a reflection of the water consumed by a resident. The water consumed by a resident, a large majority of that goes down the toilet and then goes to new water for treatment. We've been noticing a trend, and we'll talk about that a little bit more on B2, because we've B2 we had assumed a volume of less than 340 million. We had we're assuming a volume of 300 million gallons. And I guess I'll talk about it right now. We're seeing a trend at the prison. There's two reasons. One, overall, we're seeing a reduction of water usage.
In the prison?
Our five-year average is less than what our 10-year average is. And I don't have those numbers present, but...
can you say that again? Our five-year average is below what we expected for 10 years?
Well, it's less than what the average would be for 10 years.
Yeah, 342 million. For 10 years, and 333 million for 5 years. And prior to that, back in 2005, we were up to 445 million.
So it's throughout the village.
It's been, yes, yeah, in total, trending down.
So we're using less water, and that's been the overall trend. But just recently, this year, at the prison, we've noticed that they're using less water in the magnitude of about 12 to 13 million gallons. And earlier this year...
12 to 13 million is less than they did before?
Yes.
So yeah. How many...
Did they fix a leak?
How many are they... Well, they did have...
A couple of things happened. One, we discovered a leak. And that leak was upstream of... their meter, and earlier this year they had indicated and notified us that they were going to implement a restriction on the number of times a toilet could be flushed in a cell. They've put controls on the toilets, and they've controlled it such that an inmate can't flush it more than once every 10 minutes.
Thank you.
And because of that, we're seeing less usage, less water.
I don't think anybody's been able to figure out why, other than there's two cellmates probably, why you would flush the toilet that often.
I was going to ask.
Even if you had two cellmates.
Right, right.
I mean, every 10 minutes.
Yeah, but every 10 minutes, our medical department would be very busy.
And they were doing it, you know, more often than that, right?
That's not just the wastewater.
I don't know.
Okay. Food quality increasing?
So they have showers once a year?
That's and I keep going out.
I don't get that. So the 12 to 15 million less, how many do they normally consume? Like in the last year, how many?
What was that average? I have the number, but I don't have it handy. I can get that to you guys as well.
I'm just wondering if it was cut in half.
Not quite, no. So they had started that project early this year. They're halfway through it. I believe they're 700 cells. So those cells are broken out into a north wing and a south wing or whatever. And they're halfway through the project, and that project will continue into next year. So we could expect to see, when the work has been completed, potentially a decrease of about 25 million gallons a year. So we had to factor that into this rate case. And that's what we did. And what?
Rain?
Air conditioning or heat. So, is that good news or bad news for us?
That's good. Bad news for ratepayers.
Bad news for who?
For ratepayers. Because it
cautious.
The denominator. You take the cost, then you divide it by the estimated volume of water sent down the drain.
But if we're sending less down the drain, shouldn't we pay less to have it processed?
We do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. But I don't know. I don't know that we're ever going to see new water costs going down. I think they're going to make up that difference. Larger picture with higher rates. I don't think their cost is going to come down overall. So what we end up doing is then you take the expenses divided by the volume to come up with the rate. And as indicated earlier, the expenses were broken out into two components, O&M and debt. Craig, help me with this, Julie, but we pay for our debt with the fixed or base charges. And from that, Julie was able to determine what that should be. And then that other component, we were able to come up with a volume charge. When we started to look at this, one, we noticed the trend at the prison, and that was part of the reason why we ran another option. Two, because of the cost increases that we've been witness to by New Water, we wanted to add, I felt it was necessary to add a larger contingency to our overall expenses so that we could avoid having to every year do a rate case. And I want to make sure that we have the money available to properly maintain and operate our system too. I don't really want to try to operate in a frugal way our system. I want to have the money to be able to do it the way it needs to be maintained and operated. So
the rate case would do what to our rates?
Increase them.
Yeah. By how much?
With the second option we have here for a typical residential user, let's see, you'd go from just under $36 a month, or I'm sorry, from $28.74 to like
$35.65.
$28 to $35?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
20%, huh?
But if our water, if someone's water bill is, that's a month, you're saying.
Yeah.
So if someone's current bill is $100, that's on a month? Or is that quarterly?
Monthly.
So an average, so it's, I don't get it.
What this is based on is an average residential user using 3,000 gallons per month.
Is that what our average is?
Correct. That's what the PSC based water rate increase on.
And this is just the sanitary.
Sanitary, yeah.
Utility.
Oh, okay.
Like Sean
Thank
said,
you.
The water, you know, you measure the water, and what it comes through that meter is what you bill the sanitary. We don't have any deducts or anything like that.
Okay. How about, so that was option two. What's
yes.
option one?
Option one would have been an increase of $3.73 a month. Now, the difference with these, though, like Sean said, me using the 314,000, I believe, with the initial calculation.
Right.
And Sean took a look at it and said, it's too high. In the past, we've used 369. But as it's trending down, you know, you're better off doing that. So that brought the rates from 549 per thousand to 655 per thousand. The other piece of it, like Sean said, is that fixed rate. And that you want to bill based on the number of meters so you're sure you're getting that money coming in because that's the debt service and other charges both that we have and that, the fixed charge that comes through in the water. When he's talking about that contingency there, if you look at the top of the page, and if you're looking at B2, you've got total operation and maintenance of $1.7 million. And then you've got the interest and principal of $1.2 million. We also need to make a, every year we make a transfer of $15,000 to that equipment replacement fund in the sanitary that's based on prior borrowing. $10,000, we're saying that could be for assets, which part of that will go towards GIS, but you might be higher one year and a little lower the next year.
Okay.
And then this allowance for operation and maintenance. I originally used $100,000. Sean felt more comfortable with $200,000. And the way that net bill varies,
yeah,
it makes sense.
We've been seeing between 3-5% increases for the treatment of wastewater. And that equates to anywhere between $80,000 and $100,000 a year.
So why $200,000?
So that we don't every year have to put together a rate case and make sure that we have the funds available to properly maintain operator system.
The last time we did a rate case was 2016.
But our rates have gone up since 2016.
Water rates have gone
water
up.
Rates, not
right. Sanitary rates have not.
We should also add that this was reviewed with the Finance Personnel Committee. Same discussion and. Their recommendation was to proceed with option B2.
So that is that a 20%? Yeah, it's about a 20% increase. More than that.
Of $84 for an average residential customer.
How many gallons did we process in 2020? Do we know? Because we should have processed a whole lot more in 2020 because the people were home in 2020.
356. Those are water sales, metered water sales.
Okay.
But it's, yeah. Yes.
So 2020 kind of threw our numbers off.
2019 was 319.
Except 20 was 356?
Correct.
Yeah, 18.
Yep, 18, 330. 15, 322, 16, 337.
What else? I could go make a copy of this.
What do you feel like we're trending towards?
That I would rely on.
I can get a copy for everybody. But the 5-year average is 333 million gallons. 10-year average is 342 million gallons. If we use the, and this is what I did, if you use the 333 million gallons that we're averaging over the past 5 years, and you look at the trend that we're noticing at the prison, and I'm just assuming that when they're done, we're going to see a reduction of about 25 million gallons. That's how I came up with the 300 million gallons. So if you take the 330 minus 25, I just elected that with the downward trend that I proposed to Julie and Brad to use 300 million gallons. And then I suggested that, you know, the $100,000 allowance be increased to $200,000 when calculating our total expenditures for the reasons that are already provided.
What do you think will happen to our total water bill in this? Is the water going up?
The water was approved. That's $3 and some odd cents a month, so we're like $10. A little over 10 a month for water and sewer.
And at that time, we had noticed the magnitude of the reduced water usage at Green Bay Correctional Institute. So.
I'm sorry, I'm still on this. Can you still help me understand why with Green Bay Correctional using less water, we the residents need to pay more? Because it's not like we're pre-purchasing water, right? So
our overall cost isn't going to go down.
Right. If we're using less product, what is our overall cost?
So if you take, in simple terms, if you take our total cost, the $3.1 million, and you reduce the number that you're dividing that by, your rate increases.
Right. Why is our total cost stay the same if we're using less product?
Because we're unlikely to see it, the cost from new water go down. I think yes, we will in a way, but I think they're going to make up the difference. Because their cost overall isn't going to come down. I think they're going to make it up by increasing their rate.
Just for Alloy?
Not for it today.
All their customers.
All customers. Right?
Well, if they're not selling as much tomorrow per gallon.
Well, right, but they can do that because they just get the set price.
But, and one of the things that Tom talked about when he was here this fall is they're going to be taking on some major projects, major capital improvement projects. And the magnitude of, you say, about $350 million?
Yeah.
And they're losing commercial customers, correct? A couple of the mills went on their own or did one of them?
That's been a few years ago.
Pardon?
That was a few years ago.
Well, whatever. Okay. But I mean, they'll never recoup that, obviously.
Did we get someone under the board? Why not? Did Troy not? Did he appoint someone else?
Or? He reappointed the person that's currently in there. That's term is up.
Well, I understand the confusion. I'd be hopeful to see our cost come down a little bit, but it may come down a little bit, but not enough because their cost to operate that the wastewater treatment plants up here in Green Bay, I don't think we're going to see that cost come down.
Didn't appear.
But we are only supposed to pay for process.
Yep.
We're just going to pay more.
Which is hard to understand.
Well, every year they increase their rates. And then, about 5 to 6% every year,
roughly.
And
so, what kind of a buffer does this rate provide us monetarily?
It's difficult to predict because, you know, new water is the biggest.
If their rates stayed the same.
If the rates
do we know
the
what their rate's
going to
be
today?
Next year? Yeah. Do we know what their rate's going to be next year?
How
new
water?
Oh, for new water?
The rates had increased, I think it was close to 4%.
Okay. So with that increase and our rate case, how much buffer does that provide?
How many years under this rate? Is that what you're asking?
No, how much extra
excess
annually do we have from what we're collecting?
Well, let me present it this way. The way our budget was set up in 2022 with no increase in rates, we'd have a negative cash flow. So, approximately
$232,000.
Okay. With the rate increase, I'm looking at a positive cash flow. Make sure I grab the right one here. $188,000.
And what can we use that money for?
Sanitary sewer. It would stay within that sewer fund.
And what does that include? Does that include repairs to sewers? Does that
correct. And the debt service for the debt.
But
the
that's
going to be climbing again because we're going to be taking on more projects in the future.
And that excess would help with the yearly increases that we're seeing from new water as well.
Do we expect that to be $188,000 or
$100,000? Well, I would expect just I'll have a little bit better understanding next year. Our cost has been influenced by the amount of precipitation as well, of the iodine that's gotten into our system. But we haven't seen sizable increases from new water. Anywhere between, for next year, it was close to 100,000.
So with that, if they do that again, that means in 2 years I'll be doing another rate case.
Yeah, and actually I don't think it was 100. I think it was closer to 60 or 70,000.
I think we thought this would get us 3 to 4 years, hopefully.
Okay, I've got new waters. 2021 was almost 1.9 million, 1.879. That's on this big sheet here, Sean.
Is that D3?
Yep. And then they had proposed that $2,012,000, and you budgeted the $2,070,000, and I believe that's because you budget low for their consumption, so we don't get harder
with the fixed
charge. Because if we go for actual, they're going to hit us harder with fixed charge.
Yeah.
And we found that out in the 21 budget. There was a swing of like $100,000 just based on that consumption.
I mean, we saved 40,000.
In the business. So we don't even have options on this anyway, do we?
No, not really. I mean, we're kind of at their mercy, right? And we had tried to get a member on their board, a member from the neighboring, a member from the member communities that send wastewater to new water for treatment. And unfortunately, it's the county executive that makes that recommendation, right,
to the board.
To the board.
And so we made a formal
request
to have someone come to
Kevin Ledgeview.
Yeah.
Fun?
How many members on the board, Brad? Five?
5 members for 5-year terms. Every year a member comes up.
So the less water we use as a community, the higher our rates will go.
Per gallon.
Per gallon.
Because they have fixed charges to operate.
Right.
their facility.
And they come and present every year, and it's the same old, and we have the same questions, and it never goes anywhere. You know, it's like, well, we've got our costs, and I don't think we agree with a lot of their costs, some of their wage increases, and some of their whatever, but you're right, we don't have much choice.
So other than feeling good about what you're doing for the environment, what's, well, what's the incentive?
The lights on.
That would be thunder. What would be the incentive to conserve water? Other than feeling good about yourself and what you did for whatever.
I'm going to start flushing my toilet once every 5 minutes.
Well, the flipping prison figured this out, but at the same time, it sounds like it's not going to matter to them either because they're still going to get hit with a rate increase, right?
So using less, you pay more overall, but more per gallon.
Well, right. No, I know. So it's a horse apiece. Right? Am I thinking of this the right way?
Oh, yeah. It's the biggest messed up system I've seen.
And there's a monopoly here. We have no choice.
No choice. Yeah. So here's why that board that governs that is not representing. It is not representative of all the communities it serves, not by a long shot.
What are the other communities that are on this? Pier and Ash and Bay?
I think there are
15 or 17.
Yeah, the 15 or 17 entities that send wastewater to New Water, and I think about 90% of those are municipalities. The other two are
there's 17 total, with 15 being represented by municipalities and or districts.
And what two are companies?
Green Bay Packaging, and what's the other one? It's a paper mill, right?
Yeah, it's a paper mill.
And
the old Nicolet, whatever it's called,
we don't have any representation on that board.
And the percentage of revenue that we provide is
about 85%, right?
Are there any?
One more time. The percentage of revenue
provided to New Water by municipalities by 85%.
And municipalities in total. Yet municipalities do not have a voice.
Right.
Neither do the industrial users.
Well, there's stuff we can do.
State legislation involved in setting up a sewer district. And Dane County went through something similar to this and pushed for legislation change. And they were granted a change, and there's more board members with representation from several of the communities of Dane County. But I believe, if I'm not, I'm trying to remember how this all worked. The way the legislation is written, one member has to be, I think, 200,000 in population. We don't have that. It's something like that. Please, if I'm wrong, I apologize, but it's something along that line. So it's.
Do we know who the members of that board are? Mm-hmm. Any of them Alloway residents?
Nope. All five are Green Bay residents.
Okay.
So when we formed the committee to make a recommendation for a board member, 13 of the 15 communities signed on.
Green Bay did not, I'm guessing.
And neither did De Pere.
Why?
Don't know.
They feel represented, maybe. Somehow.
Never figured it out.
Green Bay the biggest user? I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah.
And how many of the members live in Green Bay?
All five.
All five?
All five of the board members are I believe all five have Green Bay address.
Are we trying to talk to Mr. Streckenbach at all directly?
Yes.
I mean, the committee has, obviously.
What did Troy say?
Meet all the communities is probably his biggest concern. Having all 15 communities agreeing to wanting this. Some of the concerns was if if the communities made a had a recommendation to represent us, hey, is it going to be someone that will be a disruptor?
Maybe.
I hope so.
If the shoe fits.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
And that was one of the biggest things that was brought up, is making sure the way it was described to me is it takes a few years for a new member to understand the
racket.
Beaten into
so we should just stay in the dark instead of be enlightened.
We'll keep pushing. Trust me, we're still pushing.
Okie dokie.
So I do have a question. So this current fixed charge, I mean, this is a little itty bitty part of this, but our residents are bearing the brunt of that. Do we have any latitude in being able to switch that to a different water meter side?
If you look at how it's allocated.
Yeah. I'm just wondering.
You've got a 6-inch meter that is 45 times the read of the.
Yeah.
And that was something Sean and I talked about too, because I initially used what water was using. Mm-hmm. But because our rates are kind of set up as a conservation rate, it was hitting the residents of the park. So I stayed with this allocation, this use charge factor that's been used in the past, and I talked to the gal at the lottery case, and she agreed. But if you look, I mean, we went from $12.40 a month to $16. So that's pretty good. And then the volume charge is up to a great extent because of the decrease in volume. Like Sean said, you're spreading it over less, so it drives that up.
So for the individual homeowner, customer, yeah, whatever, mm-hmm, the sewer rate is based on the water consumption rate. At 50%, what's the formula there?
More than that, isn't it?
However much water is used, that's the volume used for burning sewer.
Yeah,
it's just a different fixed charge.
Yeah.
Unless you have a separate meter for something specific, like a cooling tower that doesn't get flushed.
Correct.
And not to add any more confusion to this, but we treat a lot more water than the 300 40 million gallons. It's closer to 800 million gallons.
But we're having less of that as we fix our sewer leaks, correct?
Right.
Yeah. But that charge has to go somewhere, so it's easier to put it on now. Customer.
And yet another reason to get rid of the prison and build a beautiful development that will use lots of water. It will have a water feature in it. We'll throw millions of gallons out of it. Okay.
Because both those 6-inch meters are the prison, correct?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I'm going about, why can't we just, you know, it's a little thing, but at least it would help our residents out. And if the prison's the one funding all this, I'm sorry, the prison doesn't pay their way, and our residents are already subsidizing the prison. It's like, why can't we put that all on those 6-inch meters and just, it would at least be a little thing that would help the residents. Although, could we ever get that past the PSC?
It's not regulated by the PSC. It's not regulated by the PSC.
Then can we do what we want there?
Public Service Commission.
Public Service Commission.
You can, but you want to be reasonable about it.
I'm very reasonable with the state. That wouldn't even bring them close to paying for their facility that our residents are subsidizing. Not you and Flo's. Oh,
correct.
Brad knows. Our residents subsidize that prison like crazy, and it is just a BMI bonnet. So I don't know why we should be subsidizing them even more.
I don't know that we are. I guess you'd have to look at the volume. Prison's water volume. You know, we basically got them at like 10%, right?
Yeah, they're about 32 million a year. Right?
I was looking to see if I had the number handy. I
had it at one time. Well, it's in my prison file.
And Ted, just so you know, from a fairness perspective, we subsidize the prison and our alloy residents on numerous fronts.
Oh,
they don't pay for themselves.
That's it.
Okay.
Any recommendations to the board on this?
I have a recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, so can we circle back to that again? What are we asking for to send to the board? Because I feel completely powerless. What are we actually being asked?
The Finance Committee recommended doing the higher rate increase.
But that's all this is about, right? We
right.
Really don't have any other...
We really don't have a lot of control over the water cost, and that comprises a large percentage of our overall cost.
However, in hearing, we can at least change those fixed charges and move the increase in the fixed charges to those 2 6-inch meters. And I would love the prison to argue that that should be done and that they're paying their way.
How does the 6-inch meter change then?
So the rate increase on the fixed charges right now is on our residents. It's on the 3/4-inch meters. If we move all that increase from that down to the 6-inch meters, it at least mitigates some of this. Not all of it, but at least some of it.
It's not all on the residents, though. That's the only current fixed charge that's shown here. I don't have a bill with the current 6-inch charge that we're currently charging.
Okay, well,
I suppose we can't do that.
3/4 to the prison is kind of where I'm at.
So you'd like to put $1 million of the fixed charge to the prison?
Absolutely.
I'll start.
They don't pay their way, and so I'm having a lot of heartburn moving any of the prison's changes to residents.
Can you pull up on the website if you've got the bill done with? Can you copy the bill open? I think it might be file.
You looking at our website?
Yeah.
Where the heck did it go?
And, you know, the current fixed charge for the alloy share on a residential is $8. We'd be dropping it to 7. But the new water share is $4.40, and we'd be funding that tonight.
Yeah, take that away and stick that part on the prison.
I just want to see what the 405, 315 and the 405 are compared to where they're at right now.
So,
and I don't know that it's even going to show up. Probably not, because I think we just showed them the residential.
The cost shifting to our residents on yet another thing just drives me bananas.
I would agree. I mean, there will still be an increase.
There would, right. But at least it wouldn't be as much if we could put some of that back.
Where should I look here, Julie?
It should be under, DPW. Sanitary rate.
Oh, okay.
Stormwater.
Wastewater utility?
Yeah, wastewater. Let's see what we got. There is no...
This one? This is a sanitary sewer rate update?
Yeah.
That's
their budget. Yeah. I'd have to grab my... Should I grab that file? Like,
how many... 6-inch meter users are there in the...
Two.
But
there are two 6-inch meters. Well, there's the prison, right? That's
a user, but they have two of them.
Yeah.
That's so it's just the prison.
Exactly. So that's why if we can move at least that increase of fixed cost to them, it's at least a little relief for the residents and going to an entity that does not pay for itself.
It would surely strike a conversation.
Right, DOC or administration wouldn't agree, but wouldn't like it for sure.
They're a user, and they can't. They can dislike it.
We dislike it.
And anybody flushing a toilet every 10 minutes should be in the medical unit.
Right.
So
I didn't want to say that because this is a recorded meeting, but
yep.
I guarantee there's a component.
Yeah.
But to be honest, It'll get our rates down. Flush away, boys. Flush away. Use it all.
Yeah. I don't know. I would love to put some of this back on the prison.
Well, it's just five. Because is that, do we believe that the decrease is primarily due to the prison?
For two reasons. One, we're all seeing a trend of less water use, and then
throughout the village or at the GBCF?
Village as a whole.
Okay.
And then you add the reduction that we're seeing, the less water being used at the prison.
But we hunger.
What's that?
We were up to 356.
That'd be 2020 then.
Yeah. I'll make that idea of this too. Give this to everybody.
Although with more people working at home, maybe it will go back up. But
yeah.
That's TV. At this stage of the year, would we know how many gallons we've
treated? Thus far?
Yeah.
Sean, you have that information.
It's supposed to be by calendar year, right?
Yes.
This is a good discussion. And you're right, it makes sense to put those costs. So
it's got to start paying its way.
Yeah, the current bill or the current plan does not assess the 6-inch meters?
It does.
Oh,
it does.
Okay.
It does.
But
I'm
equivalent.
Even more.
Thank you, sir. Sean, do you happen to know how many gallons we've processed this year?
Where at? That new water?
Yeah.
I can drive. I'm
just wondering. I might have a number.
Doesn't he have to get
on the old drive? That consumption?
Yes.
She does?
Yep. I think I have a total.
Yeah, 2020 was the highest since 2012.
Brent. What number are we looking for? Just total number?
Consumption year to date.
Utilities. Where does she put?
I think it's under utilities. Like water.
So I'm saying.
If you go. She may put it in two different locations.
There's a billing folder. On that?
Billing folder?
Yep. It's not. Oh, Public Works. I'm sorry. No, it's P then.
Yeah, P Public Works.
Now, this
the P drive?
The charge factor is determined at the top of that. You depend on that.
The user charge factor, like, so that's historical. And then you've just, you know, as the size of the meter increases. So if we're going to do it for the prison, we'd have to kind of do a logical step. The 1.5, the 2.4.
Why?
I mean, if it's just square inches in circumference, that's 64 times bigger, 6-inch. Versus a 3/4 inch, and if they have 2, that's 128.
I have the numbers, Brad. I can go grab my water cut.
Okay, so
if you go to go to sanitary.
Sanitary sewer.
And so, Craig,
I don't think it's water. Sanitization. Water. So.
I mean, I guess the size of the pipe regulate everything.
I am in.
It's just 3/4 versus a 6-inch.
I'm in the right drive.
So if they have 2 6-inches, they're 128 times the service that a 3/4 has. But they're paying 45 times more. And
July
like
billing?
I said, it's not necessarily
it could be right
just
there, yep.
Size versus size. It depends what goes through it. That's the capacity, anyways.
Yep.
Let's see it in there.
Reports, billing reports. 1.1.
Julie, what's the user charge factor?
That's what we're talking about here. It's a meter. It's just an increase of flag based on the meter size. So the 3/4 inch flag, which is the residential, is 1. And you get a 1.5 inch, you're going to go 2.5 times that.
Okay.
Okay.
1.5 is 5 times 2 is 8. 3 is 15. 4:30, 6:45. Can we mess around with this? Yes, but I think we have to have some logical steps.
Although it's not regulated.
People love
it. It's a little bit different.
I thought the PSC didn't meet it.
They won't, but if there's a complaint by a customer.
And how would we then justify it?
That's where I think you don't want to go from a one, you know, keep this, you want some logical steps in there to get to that 6 inch.
Yeah, but I don't see why the people in the middle should be paying for the prison either.
I don't know that they're paying for the prison.
Oh, this is the scope of this is so much bigger than water.
Okay. Right, but right now we're talking about the sanitary.
We have to talk about the water, though, right? You can't.
Yeah,
you have to be careful of that.
Yeah, it all kind of goes together, but they seem to be the ones driving a lot of this cost shifting. And I'm just trying to figure out what little part of this we have control over, how to make that fair. And this seems like the only thing we have control over.
Do the individual, the 3/4, do they have to be a one unit?
They should be a one. That's our baseline, basically.
It's a standard residence?
That's just a factor. You can divide and multiply it all by whatever we want.
Right.
The same.
As long as we come up with some type of reasonable allocation.
And there are plenty of residents out there that have a one inch, too.
We've got
88 customers. But those could be residential, those could be, we don't know. Okay?
We do know if I had a PSC report, I could tell you exactly what that is. And that's
on
the website, too.
So they're going to use charge 2.5 times as much, but they don't have a fixed charge.
This is the fixed charge. This is what's being used to allocate the fixed charge.
So were all the fixed charges adjusted?
Yes. Because we're starting with the number of customers, 5565, and we're saying the equivalent number of meters is 6479. So then we take that fixed charge divided by 6479 and come up.
No, but I mean on this sheet, we've got current fixed charge designated only for 3/4 inch meters. So that's why I'm taking it as currently the only changes to fixed charges are happening at those 3/4 inch meters.
That's just the current charge for the residential, which is normally what we talk about is how's this impacting the rest of
that.
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm still there.
Okay, so.
So the 6 inches went up some, but not.
Well, they went up 45 times.
The same percentage.
Based on that use factor.
How much does the average house send into the system?
3,000 gallons.
3,000 gallons.
Plus or minus, yeah. Somebody had asked about how much water we consume today, or what we project we're going to consume by the end of the year. Today we've consumed 290 million gallons. It doesn't include December. Looking at the previous 2 months, we've been consuming, roughly speaking, 24 to 25 million gallons each month. So if to project that to year end, you're looking at about 314 million gallons consumed. compared to 220 was 330 million gallons. Mm-hmm. So we're down 15. I guess I'm projecting that we're going to see a continual reduction at the prison. The prison uses, in 2020, the prison used plus or minus 65 million gallons.
In what year?
2020. The projected 2021 year-end consumption, I have at about 52 million gallons.
So they use 21,000 times more than the house?
Okay.
That's 19% of our state water usage. I'm doing calculations right this past year.
Well, their service may be 128 times as much, but they're using 21,000 times more.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Grounds for increasing the fixed charges.
Well, wait, say that again. There.
They use 65 million, and the house uses 3,000. So that 21,666 times more.
So what burden does that increase due to the system? What's the additional burden on the system that we can justify?
Right now they're using 18% of water. 18% of the water that's used by the village, consumed by the village, goes through the prison.
Plus or minus, that's what I came up with. They just came up with 16% plus or minus. So, yeah.
So they could pay 16% on fixed charges.
18. What would my number?
And what would our... well, actually, they should be, shouldn't they? Shouldn't they be paying, if they're processing 18 or sending 18% of our water into the system?
How's that work?
No. I was going off of 2020, so.
Fixed charge. Let's just do what is 18% of the fixed charge? Oops, I don't find that. Right.
$223,000.
Yeah, and under the way that it's currently proposed at
17 grand.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. Excuse me. Wow.
So is that a fair way to look at it, is the question?
I don't know. I think.
I'd say continue through for a long period of time.
And our fixed charge is for operations primarily?
And infrastructure.
And infrastructure.
We're treating them like a single residence.
Right.
They're not a single residence. In reality, there are how many different residents in a building? They're an apartment or they're an event.
Well, we don't have any that have 1,100 people in this.
You know, a question could be asked of City of Waupun. What do you do? What do you do to the
Oxford with federal
They get money back.
But we do too, but nowhere near enough.
Nowhere near what they do.
But it'd be a good question to City of Waupun. How do you build the prison for water?
Commercial the same way.
Just out of curiosity.
There's some logic behind that. I like that.
Yeah, there are five billing classes. There's residential, commercial, multifamily, public, and institutional. So you
institutional would be the prison.
Prison, right?
Multifamily goes in with commercial.
So we could look at it that way. Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have some, like you said, residential that are using a 1-inch, that might be get a little bit further down too.
What are the schools? Are they 3-inch?
Can you pull up the PSC report?
Oh, I have no idea where it's at.
Yeah, I would think they're...
On the website?
Our website?
Yes. Either that or you can go right to the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin and file there. Because that'll tell us public authority. Got 20-ish some.
So what other institutional users would we have? Yeah. So schools wouldn't be considered institutions?
They're considered public authority.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what you're suggesting then is that our fixed charge should represent the usage by each billing class and look at it that way?
I think that's fair.
But I think we'll have to rework.
If the numbers work out.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So just take any village pound way?
That volume rate?
No.
It's just going to change the way we're allocating fixed charge.
Yeah.
When do we have to have a decision, or the board have to make a decision?
We were hoping to put this increase into effect along with the water, which would go into effect with the January that's going to February.
Could we do it at the next board meeting?
Next
Tuesday. First?
We probably could if we could look through some numbers.
I think we're not going to be meeting until later June or January.
Yeah, I think you can bring both options to the board.
Okay.
I think that would be fair.
Okay. With this option B2, then changing the fixed charge allocation, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, if we do that, we still have to do the rate increase.
Yes.
Right? We're just shifting the cost to users who put a much greater strain on our system. Right?
Yeah, and it'll be a change from the way this has been done in the past.
Okay, well.
It'll be
and the justification is obviously the cost keeps going up and up and up, so that burden gets heavier and heavier.
Yeah. I think it's fair. Sounds fair. We'll have to see how the numbers work out. But.
So what are we doing?
Did you get to the Public Service Commission? Or no?
I'm at the Public Service Commission. I pulled up Village Value.
Oh, you want to go into regulation?
Okay, so what's the population?
Actually,
1,100.
1,100, and what's LA property?
14,000.
Does that include the 1,100 or no?
It should not.
Should not.
I'm having a hard time hearing.
It should.
It's got annual reports filer view on the left. Annual reports filer view.
I'll explain that.
I mean, they are a significant portion of.
And then you got to hit the water.
Well, saving water is only flushing every 10 minutes.
Right.
Click that again. Well,
they shouldn't be doing it.
It's not letting you just click that top thing.
Must be the noise or something.
Flush stuff down the toilet. Contraband.
You filed annual
reports.
Did you not file it?
This one here?
That one there.
Yeah.
Water.
I did this one.
I couldn't believe the report.
Pardon me?
Because otherwise they...
You filed annual reports.
They're not.
There
they
we
don't
go.
From a census.
From a census standpoint, I don't believe they
and then you can pull
back to where they were convicted from.
And then just kind of scroll down.
Oh, that drove me nuts because when I first was on the issue, our transportation charges were based on the population, including the prison. I'm like, where are they going? So that was skewed to another one of the prison stats that.
It's not going to bring you there. You just got to.
And it just bugs me that our residents subsidize the state.
Keep going. Wait on. It's almost the end of the report.
Pretend for a second, call them residents.
Keep going.
They still make, they would make
where are you seeing these
just
numbers?
Over 7% of the population.
Keep going.
Yet they're consuming upwards of, call it 16 to 18% of the water.
Mm-hmm. And they are paying for the water.
You're almost there.
The strain that that puts on the system or the requirements of the system to be able to process that.
They're not paying 18%
no,
of
not.
The fees of for the percent.
Gallon for gallon, they're paying the same.
Right. They're not covering their percentage.
Right. And our fixed costs.
Wait. That's the only thing we have control over.
Right. And our fixed costs are so because we have to service that.
Up again.
Now, what other?
Can I score?
Yeah.
Four-inch, three-inch, two-inch facilities outside of schools do we have? Are these businesses? Who's using those? Because
car wash,
service station. What's Purveya got? Is that a four-inch or three-inch?
We could look that up, but if the fixed charge is based on one's usage, I think it's a fair method.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and I've learned a ton through this process. I don't know, there are standards that apply to guidelines that got bigger.
Yeah,
we follow,
make it bigger.
But I think this might be a creative way of correctly allocating the cost.
Right. Wouldn't it be nice if we could say the water rates to our residents are actually going down? And it's done in a fair way.
We're going to see a change in the fixed charge by that.
Right.
The amount they pay every month is going down.
At least from an operational, the stuff that we control.
So the residential there, 52, 72, 40 some 1 inch, 2 1.5 inch. Commercial. And the other is the public authority, right?
Yep.
Marshall, we have 9 3-inch commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, that would at least be a much fairer way of allocating those.
Commercial. Okay.
I think, to be fair, we have to look at the other commercial properties and businesses and what they use. I mean, to be fair.
Yeah, they will probably go down too.
They'll still pay a comparison to that because, again, it's...
Yep. Because of the disproportionate.
Yeah.
So you think in the first meeting in January to give us time, or... You're going to try to do it on the 21st.
I know that I don't have the time to help Julie with this in December, but I would have time to help you in January that we would need help with.
How far behind 8-ball would we be if it started then on the February buildings?
February building, March? Or January goes February?
We passed it in January. When will be the effective date?
You could make it effective for volume.
For the volume.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it'd just be nice to get some notice out to the public, though. It's noted in agenda items and stuff like that, but I don't know.
Yep.
Just so people kind of know it's under review.
Could we put that on the website? Is that our fastest way to mobilize that information?
Put it on the bill.
So what would you put on the bill? What would the notice say?
What did we put for the water? We said it was. I think we gave the actual increase. Then did we not? It came true. We could put, have a reminder water rate increase will go into effect.
We could indicate that there will be an increase to the sanitary sewer volume charge to this, and fixed charge is expected to be adjusted in the near future.
I think if we put it on our website, if we put it out to the email distribution that we have, that we have been telling people for years to sign up for, because that's our primary means of communication, that I think just putting something out there saying that the rates are being looked at. It's possible that part of the charges may go up, and it's part of, you don't even have to say part of it, just say that we're currently reviewing rates, anticipating increase due to anticipated increased costs and reduced usage. Although, then they'll say right. Yeah, why don't you just say due to increased cost of operating the utility.
More confused than us.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Okay, so just so I wrap my head around it too, then we're gonna look at, we looked at the prison consumption as a percentage of actual consumption, then we're gonna look at the commercial in the same manner, and the residential, which we have in the.
I don't know if we're getting too much in the weeds, but honestly, if that's what we're doing, I'd support the idea of including the prison population in the overall population number as a percentage.
That's what I want to ask you. In the 14,000, our new census?
They say that it's in there.
Oh, it is in there.
Oh, right. They do say that includes the prisoners.
I argue with the state, and it's sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say don't.
Yeah. Trying to get a straight answer
in the
years.
Yeah.
But the last time they said yes?
Last time they said it's in there.
Okay, so it's a larger percentage of the population.
Yeah, they're utilizing even more then.
Yep.
Wow. Oh, no, they're not utilizing more. They're
disproportionately more.
Yeah, disproportionately more.
Well, they're 14% of the population. Or not quite.
They need to pay for the function.
I think if we come up with a factor for that six,
well, that was
you know, then we can work our way.
7%. Or no, yeah, 1,100.
Capacity
of
800.
Yeah.
You're looking
at about 7%.
Yes. Good discussion. I quit taking those because there's so much discussion. It's like
we just had a very good discussion in the rates and applying the rates
some logic
appropriately.
We don't know so right away.
They're on the belt and the
so you're good with
minutes
on that one, Brad?
I'll come up with
it. And we don't need a formal action.
Right, there's no action taken, so.
Got direction.
Cool. Great discussion.
Can I ask a quick over on this for my notes?
Oh.
What do we have for gallons utilized by Green Bay Correctional for 2019-18? Do we have that data?
I can get it. I don't have it in front of me, but we can generate that report.
In 20 we did know, right?
Yeah.
65 million?
Yep.
65 mil in 20, okay.
In 2021 you said 52.
54. Plus or minus.
I'd love to know what 1918-17 was doing.
All right.
Because then we could actually show the cut.
So let me ask you this. Should we not bring this back to Public Works? Because of some resident input?
Although, I don't know. This has been a wonderful discussion because everybody has...
If we're able to come back to the committee without delaying things dramatically...
How much do we delay?
You might lose a month.
So, would everybody be open to a special Public Works meeting? Could we do that for this one agenda item to get it mainstream?
Well, I don't know that we need to do that. I'm going to just bring up the calendar because we have a village board meeting after the January Public Works Committee meeting.
So we could pass it then and still apply to January, Julie?
We're on the 4th.
And then the 12th.
12th.
And then again on the 18th.
Yeah, the 18th would be
the having the rates printed on the bills in time. That turn around. Because there's 2 to 3 weeks on that.
You know better than I was.
So we might miss a month.
I would think you would just anticipate missing a month.
We've got to start in water, though. Because the regulation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But delaying it a month will... Delay will cost us what, 10 grand or?
But I think we'll have a much better solution.
Yeah. I just don't want to rush what we're trying to gather.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're reaching out to another community, who knows what you're gonna
right.
Who's there?
It'd be nice to see what kind of factors.
I'm gonna reach out to Waupun.
Okay.
Maybe hit up Stanley, too, if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't mind leading the way. If other people... But it is good to know.
Just as well. Twice. If prisoner versus...
All right. 65 people are in prison?
1,100.
It's more than that.
It's built for 700.
65 million versus 3,000 for a residence. That's 21,000.
For a residence, not a resident.
Right.
So, yeah.
And you got to look at that total number.
Well, then if you divide it by 1,400, that's 15.4 times more than a resident per prisoner.
We've got 7% of our population using 18% more water.
Grossly different. Okay, do you guys have what you need from us?
Yeah,
I think so.
Lots of homework.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey, that's
all right.
That's what we're here.
Maybe you want to go undercover, sir.
Look good, orange. Sure.
Julie did all the heavy lifting. I helped her with some of the numbers. But yeah, I'm sure I'm the one they're going to come after.
And thanks for coming tonight, too, Julie. Yeah.
Yes, thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Okay, what's up?
Sidewalk maintenance.
So, I think it was at a village board meeting this fall that Trustee Harris had asked for, roughly speaking, or maybe it was at the budget workshop. We had somebody on light duty this spring. He went out and inspected our existing sidewalk, and from that, we had noted at every property that was abutting sidewalk, the repairs needed to the sidewalk. And from that, we came up with a cost estimate. It's included in your packet. Put it.
$108,000.
Oh,
what's the...
Here it is. Yes, so... From that inspection, we created a spreadsheet, and if you flip to the last page, roughly speaking, it will cost about $110,000 to repair the defective sidewalk that we have in the village.
This is the entire village?
Yep.
Every foot of sidewalk?
It was. To our best ability, and I'm sure the cost is... more than that, probably slightly more than that. And it came up because of the postponement of the Webster Avenue sidewalk project. And we had bonded $300,000 plus or minus for that work. And
obviously Webster is not included on there.
It was not included in this cost. So discussion was, okay, what do we do with that $300,000 that we had bonded for? I had suggested that we use it to go out and maintain our existing sidewalk that we have. That we have an obligation to do that. We're building more. We need to fix the sidewalk that we currently have. So
why are we responsible for the Quick Trip Alley? Is that on public land? Or is that their private alley?
It's a village alley.
Okay.
Yep. I just labeled it that way. And labeled it that way. So,
our cost of $8 a square foot is for tear out and replacement. $8 a square.
Roughly speaking, yeah. And it includes the restoration that is required too.
Yeah.
And the purpose of this.
We use prisoners.
The purpose of this is just to give you an idea of what it will cost to repair the village's sidewalk. And what I'd like to do in this winter, potentially get out of a contract to go out and make these repairs.
The whole thing? 108?
I would think, well, or maybe a portion of it, half of it, or maybe the whole thing. Or maybe we put the plans together this year and we bid it next year. I think we have a couple years to spend the money. And then the remainder of that $300,000 we could put towards...
Another street.
A street. Or a street improvement, a street maintenance project. So this is for just discussion. Trustee Harris had asked for a ballpark number, and it's just a report to you guys.
Well, it would make us consistent with the new construction. We're trying to include sidewalks by
right.
maintaining existing.
So no action is needed. We'll be working on a contract. Whether that gets that work gets constructed next year or the year after, I'll bring back to you those plans.
Okay, thank you.
Next item, Jim's retirement.
Yeah.
We'll make a motion to not allow it.
Yeah. Jim this fall indicated to Brad and myself that he was looking at retiring at the end of this year. He wanted to make sure that the numbers worked for him and his family. And just recently came back to us to say yes, they do. And that his last day will be the 25th. Last day at work will be the 22nd. We're sad to see him go. At the same time, we're happy for him, too. I had done my best in this write-up to kind of capture his achievements over the 26 years that he's worked for Village.
How many? 26?
Close to 26 years, just short of 26 years. So if you get a chance before he retires, you know, give him a call. And
is there anything going to go on here, a little lunch or anything like that? Pizza?
He had requested that we don't do that, that he would like to quietly leave.
Mm-hmm. Have we had other Village individuals that have left at 25 or 26 years?
Yes.
Oh, do we ever do anything
else? Yeah. We had a staff member from the Parks Department retire after 33 years and didn't want anything.
Yeah.
Debbie retired after 31 years.
Okay.
We had a little breakfast.
Social distancing.
Yeah, social distancing time.
And when's his last day? 22nd?
22nd, yeah. There is a card that is currently being routed. If you want to come in and sign that.
Quickly appreciate his services.
Yes.
And his candor.
Next.
Adjournment. Who would like to make a motion?
I will make that motion to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
None opposed? Adjourned.
Jim wants to stay. Thank you, everyone. That was a great conversation.
I hope I just didn't screw that up.
Yeah, it would really be great if...